How much of the joy in your life comes from the fact that you have learned contentment? And what would it take for you to have greater contentment than what you have now?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Ben Franklin said, "Contentment makes poor men rich, and discontent makes rich men poor." I think that's right on. That's exactly right. And it's close to what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." It's gain, not that it gives you any more money, but it makes you rich. Because if you have $1 million and you're not happy with it, what good is it? Because you don't have enough money. And so the billionaire who doesn't have enough money is poor because he doesn't have enough money. The guy who barely has any money but who's content, he does have enough money, and so he's richer than the billionaire. So the guy who has enough is always going to be happier than the guy who doesn't have enough, which means contentment is priceless, right? Think what would your life be like tomorrow if you just tripled your income? Learning contentment would make you happier than tripling your income. And so it's priceless. And that's not the only thing that makes it priceless. In fact, it's not even the main thing that makes it priceless. Contentment is priceless, not just because it'll increase your joy, but also because it'll help you in every area of the Christian life. It's a perfect way for Paul to close out the book of Philippians, because contentment is necessary for every one of the principles that he's taught us in this book. Chapter 1, rejoicing in the Lord even when in the midst of suffering. You can't do that, obviously, without contentment. Chapter 2, that selfless, humble, Christ-like, you-first attitude that he talked about all through that chapter. You can't have that without contentment. Because discontent makes you selfish, and coveting causes fights and quarrels. Remember James 4:1? So unity and harmony are always going to be out the window if you don't have contentment. Chapter 3, considering everything in this world a loss in order to gain Christ and treasuring Christ above everything in the world. You can't do that without contentment. Chapter 4, reconciled relationships, internal peace, gratitude. You can't have any of that without contentment. So you won't have gratitude, you won't have joy, you won't have treasure Christ above all, you won't put others first. Instead, you'll have selfishness, anxiety, ingratitude, joylessness, and relational conflict if you don't have contentment. Lack of contentment will lead into every kind of sin. In fact, 1 Timothy 6 says that. Verse 10, love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. So discontent, it can pull you into any kind of evil, pierce you with griefs, ultimately end up causing you to wander away from the faith altogether. Matthew 19, Jesus challenged the rich man to choose between his money or Jesus, and the guy went away sad because he had great wealth. He was coveting his own wealth. He just couldn't let go of it. And so the guy walks away, and Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Having money, having the stuff in this world makes us so vulnerable to 100 different kinds of sins. Jesus said in the parable of the soils in Mark 4 that the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word so that you never even bear fruit. And money will do that to you whether you have it or not. In politics, people are always talking about greedy rich people, right? Greedy corporations, greedy rich people. You never hear about the greedy poor people. It's almost as though having a lot of money automatically makes someone greedy just because they have that money. But what about the millions of greedy poor people? I think usually it's the greedy poor people who are complaining about the greedy rich people because the greedy poor people want the greedy rich people's money, right? But if you lack contentment, you're going to run into spiritual problems no matter how much money you have, whether you have it or don't have it. Proverbs 30, verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who's the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal so that I dishonor the name of God." Either way, I run into sins. So our natural reaction to poverty is to sin to get more money. Our natural reaction to wealth is to sin by self-sufficiency and pride, but either way, we get dragged into sin. So here's the amazing thing. Paul didn't have a problem with any of that. He didn't have a problem with any of that. Being wealthy was dangerous to the guy who wrote this proverb. Being wealthy was dangerous. Being poor was dangerous. For Paul, it wasn't. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't dangerous. Being wealthy wasn't dangerous at all because he learned the secret of contentment. If you look at verse 12, Philippians 4:12, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in poverty or in want. So he just talks about both extremes, rich and poor. He describes it three different ways there. And he says, I can do any of it and still be happy. Now, wouldn't it be great to be like that? To just be unaffected by what you have or don't have when it comes to your contentment. All of that to say contentment is priceless.
I think for most people, contentment is only something they seek when they can't get what they really want. Like, I wish I could have a new car, but I don't have the money, so I guess I'm just going to have to learn to be content with this piece of junk car that I have. You know, or I wish I had a lot of money, I don't, so I just have to learn contentment. Sigh. Any statement about learning contentment usually comes with a big sigh. There are a couple problems with that way of thinking. First, contentment doesn't have anything to do with what you have or where you are in life. That's one of Paul's main points in this passage. You need to learn contentment in times of wealth just as much as in times of poverty. If you're poor and you lack contentment, don't expect that contentment to magically appear once you become rich. As you make your way up the financial ladder, discontent will follow you all the way up and will probably get worse. But more important than that is the fact that contentment is a virtue, just like faith or hope or joy. In fact, contentment is a form of joy. It's a virtue, which means it works for your good and for God's glory. You should strive to learn contentment regardless of whether there's anything you don't have that you wish you had or anything like that. You should run after it because if you learn contentment, it will make your life better, no matter where you are in life. If you have 10 homes and a private jet, or if you have no idea how you're going to pay your rent this month, either way, contentment would make your life much better. And it would honor God and please Him. If you don't have it, it dishonors and displeases God. It's a virtue we should seek not to make the best of a bad situation, but to make every situation better. Give some thought to how you could increase your contentment today. Talk to God about it. And we'll dive into it a little deeper next time.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.